And now, once again, it's time for an amazing episode of The Dangerous Darren Show, featuring T.S.
And now, once again, the music of Crush Luther.
Yourself by what people say, the world is kept by misfits and rejects, and all of the bad on the planet, your heart in pieces. If you
that is the music of Crush Luther, a band I released on Hi4 Recordings many, many years ago. I saw them at a club, thought they were amazing, and signed them, as well as a Canadian band called Cauterized, which were on Wind Up Records and toured with Evanescence.
Really?
Yeah, it was a huge legal battle to get them off Wind Up Records at the time and get them on Hi4. But I did it.
Well.
And then here's the kicker. They got this record that was produced by Greg Norrie, who like wrote all the 741 hits with Derek and the guys, and was the producer. He was in a band called Treble Charger from Canada.
Okay.
And I got Greg to produce the record for free. I had MTV Canada, Much Music in Canada, super pumped on this band Cauterized for this record called Disguises that I put out. And then the band broke up.
Oh, perfect.
Right before the record dropped, they decided that they lost their drummer. And I'm like, well, I'll play drums until we find a guy. And they're like, nah, it's just too much work. Like, we're just going to call it a day.
Like lost him, like he died? Or
he quit.
He quit.
And they're like, oh, these guys are so dumb. Like, I love them, but they're just dumb. They're like, where are we gonna find a drummer? And like, hi, my name is Darren Pfeiffer. And they're like, oh, yeah, I suppose you could sit in. Yeah, but I don't know, man. It's just too daunting.
Oh, wow.
Still, the record still sells to this day.
That's crazy. But it would have been toured, never did anything.
Never, nothing. Not even a video. I said, give me one video. Give me one radio single, one video. If it doesn't blow the fuck up, you guys take a knee. All right, we'll talk about it as a band and get back to you. And then they broke up. Cauterized. Look them up. They're on Wind Up.
You'll never see them play.
You never see them play, but their music is amazing, as well as the music of Crush Luther. It is a Dangerous Darren Show. It is on Adobe Radio, as you are well aware. Thanks for tuning in. It is episode number 204, the year of our Lord, 2020, June 23rd. Yeah!
Yeah. 204 episodes, man.
I know.
Some quality
entertainment. What the fuck is going on, man? We're getting old. We are getting old. That is my friend TS over there. What's up?
What's happening?
TS, I decided to go buy some booze today, which is what I usually do on a daily basis, because I'm a functioning alcoholic. And I was getting some Seagram 7s and some Canadian Club and some other stuff. And I saw this little horsey on a bottle.
Yeah.
It's called Lexington.
Lexington bourbon.
It wasn't overly expensive, but it said, you know, finest Kentucky whiskey bourbon.
I can taste that it wasn't overly expensive.
Oh man, you're gonna come to my house and criticize my booze?
No, I'm just critiquing the Lexington bourbon. It's not bad.
It's not Maker's Mark, and it's not like, you know.
No, it is quite delicious.
Well, cheers, buddy.
Cheers to you.
Cheers to you.
Oh yeah,
it's not bad.
That hits the spot.
It is not bad. Hit us up on Twitter. And while you're at it, hit us up on Instagram as well at DangerousD_Show. That is Twitter and Instagram, both at DangerousD_Show. We're on Facebook. Send us a like. Send us a follow. And if you want to follow TS on Instagram, you can find him at Burn Hollywood Burn. One whole word. Burn Hollywood Burn. And I'm on Instagram over there at Darren Pfeiffer. One whole word. Some friends I'd like to reach out to really quick before we start. Ultimate Ears. TS, they sent me one.
One pair.
They're massively backordered.
Oh, I see.
Yours are on the way.
Okay.
And oh my God, they sound, it sounds like sex in your ear. It's butter, just buttery sex in your ear. I forgot how good in-ears are. Again, I had them with Goldfinger for years and years, which sure. And those are great, but they're not Ultimate Ears. These are the absolute best if you're a producer, a songwriter, if you're in a studio a lot, if you do podcasting, if you do any recording of any kind, or if you just like really good sounding in-ear quality buds or in-ear speakers. Ultimate Ears, very, very best. www.custom.com. www.ultimateears.com. That is www.custom.ultimateears.com. You type in the word, the affiliate code on checkout, dangerous, and they'll knock off 20% off your order. Boom, just like that.
That's huge.
It's great. Also, our friends in Dr. Squatch. I've been using the soap to yes, the Dr. Squatch. I liked your picture, by the way.
That's a
How did you take a picture in the shower?
My camera, my phone's waterproof.
Is it?
Yeah.
Wow. Interesting. Anyway, we've been using this soap now for a few weeks. And man, oh man, it is the best soap ever created by the hands of man.
They have so many different flavors, if you will.
And scents. Soap. And it's just incredible. DrSquash.com is the website. Dr. Squash Soap Company is the name. It is great soap. All the other soaps you're using right now that you're getting on the market are actually considered detergents. This is not a detergent. This is a real manly soap for the man or women. There's no rules, but it is a manly soap. It'll get you clean. It is all natural, made in America, and is awesome. Site-wide, 10% discount with the code Darren. Get some stuff, put it on the cart, type in Darren, they'll knock off 10%. Great soap. You will absolutely enjoy it. And, of course, our friends over there at GringoBandido.com, the best hot sauce on the market. And of course, our tried-and-true friends, New Era Cap.
Oh, yeah.
You got Roland, you got Klipsch, you got Vans, you got Toms. They're all there. And, of course, our friends over at SE Electronics, the best mics ever made. So you got the best in-ear buds in Ultimate Ears, and you got the best mics in SE Electronics. Yes, there's a new song, a new theme song I wrote.
What do you got for me?
I just was bored today, and I decided to open up the session, and I wanted to do a song about for a segment I want to do off the top of the show called How Was Your Weekend?
Okay.
And it goes a little something like this.
All right, let me hear it.
How was your weekend? How was your weekend? How was your weekend?
Yeah.
How was your weekend? How was your weekend? How was your weekend?
Yeah.
How was your weekend?
It was all right.
That's what I do. I just write ditties. I can't write a song to save my life, but I can write ditties.
A 30-second ditty.
With that being said, TS, how was your weekend? What did you end up doing? Anything fun?
First of all, what's a weekend?
Okay.
When you're fun employed, people are.
Join the rest of the country.
I'm enjoying my
you're in great
fun
company.
Employment. But, dude, let's see. Friday, we had to do a little tracking at Adobe. So after, I was going to go get some coffee with my friend Sasha, and we ended up driving past the Federal, and I'm like, dude, the Federal is open. And
in North Hollywood?
In North Hollywood. So we stopped in, had a couple of cocktails. We met a friend there, and then we had some more cocktails, and caught up with our friend Tommy Smalls, who we haven't seen forever.
Right.
And then I proceeded on over to the Wurst House, where you met me over there.
Ah, right.
Remember that?
We had some bevvies.
That's how my weekend started. And from there, it just continued. I went home after that, man. I sheltered in place the rest of the weekend. Tried to watch some NASCAR on Friday, and I watched that shit show of a rally in Tulsa.
Yeah.
With Donald Trump.
Yeah, I want to talk about that a little bit. That was the big news this weekend, was the rally. First of all, a couple different elements from the rally. People were thinking how incredibly selfish and stupid he is to have a rally. No country in the world, TS, is allowing people to congregate with more than 100. Zero countries on the planet are like, this is still a problem. Let's keep this locked down. But our president, in his ultimate wisdom,
yes,
feels it's okay to put 19,000 people in an arena. But that was the problem. There wasn't 19,000 people. There was just over 6,000 people. 6,200, I'm hearing. 65,
yeah, according to the fire marshals.
6,500 people of very noticeable absences. You saw a lot of blue seats, which was kind of funny. They were blue.
That was hilarious.
And the big highlight of the show apparently was him drinking water with one hand and then throwing the glass off to the side. And the place went nuts.
I have to say, that was the worst two-hour stand-up comedy routine I've ever seen in my entire fucking life. Awful.
Well, apparently he was fuming backstage after the event. They had to tear down a stage and lights that they erected with TVs and sound because there's supposed to be what's called an overflow.
The overflow area, yeah.
There
sure
was no overflow. And I'm hearing reports that K-pop and these teenagers all got together and reserved tickets making his rally a failure. Is that true?
I believe it's true. Also, I went online to reserve a ticket myself.
Okay, so does others.
With the intent of not going.
This is a bit of a dual-edged sword for me, TS, because on one hand, it's hilarious that we punked Trump.
Yeah.
I love punking the man.
Mostly teenagers.
Hilarious. But the other hand is, if no one punked him, how many people would have actually shown up? We don't know. Would it have been 19,000 people?
Well, okay, it's based on first come, first serve. So that's why there were people, you know, you can get tickets because they're free. So there were allegedly a million tickets. Ticket requests. So those people could have come in and they would have had to camp out and wait in line like some of the Trumpkins did. But Trumpkins.
Most of them don't own computers or know how to use the interwebs.
It's true.
Or can afford it.
So... You know, there would have been a lot more people camping out, I think, if there were actually closer to a million real people.
Dude, even if it was half of a million, he would have been just fine.
There should have been more people in the stands.
Either way, it's an embarrassment for him, and it makes me laugh. And there's a picture of him getting off the airplane or the helicopter.
Oh, yeah.
And walking into the White House, disheveled, his tie's loose, he's holding a MAGA hat.
The walk of shame.
He's like, ugh.
He looks like he just came back from Vegas and lost a lot of money and is hungover.
What a gigantic turd.
Total.
Fucking turd. And also the vote today in Kentucky, there's going to be a primary in Kentucky today. And there's a big problem because apparently most of the citizens, the black citizens of Kentucky, live in one county. And apparently, according to reports, there is only one polling station in that county, making it hard for most of the black people in Kentucky to vote.
How fucking convenient, Kentucky, the Mitch McConnell state.
Uh-huh, exactly. So,
Moscow Mitch.
Other white counties, multiple polling stations.
There's a lot more voter suppression than people might think. They do this kind of bullshit all the time.
Fucking dumb. It's fucking dumb, man. It's fucking...
Everybody should vote by mail or demand that they can vote by mail.
You can vote by mail. I mean, the military has been doing it for decades.
Well, we can. Do you? But in Kentucky, can they vote by mail? I'm not sure.
I don't know.
They can't do it. You can't do it everywhere.
Well, you know, you can hold us down, but that means if they have to wait in line for hours and hours, they will. It's like, you can make it hard for us, but we'll still line up. We'll still be there in the morning, and we'll take a day off work, and we'll line up, and we'll be there all day, and it's going to suck, but we're still going to cast our vote. That's what you should do if you're in Kentucky, and you're of color, and you live in that county. I don't know the name of the county, but you should just get there early, take the day off work, or most people aren't working anyway, and line up and vote and get Mitch McConnell, or at least it's the primary, so it's not like the real vote's in November. But, you know, show McConnell that he's a piece of garbage, and he needs to be removed, Kentucky. Do the right thing. Other states like Virginia, West Virginia, Missouri, Alabama have shown, even California has had districts flip from red to blue in the last 2 years alone, from 18 to where we are today. We've seen districts flip, and it's time for some of these states that have been prominently red for years to at least move into the right direction. I mean, fuck, Oklahoma was red since the 40s, and look at the turnout in Tulsa. Sad.
Maybe it's becoming more purple.
Whatever, man. You just got to get this guy off. I'm counting the days. I have a calendar with X's on it until November 3rd. We never got to the Jeff Grossa part two interview a while back, TS. And I noticed on my Pro Tools here that, yeah, we never actually aired part two of my chat with Jeff.
Well, what are we waiting for?
And also, on a skateboarding note, I did reach out to Tony Hawk. He has a masterclass about skateboarding he's put out. He's been posting these videos on how to do heel flips and kick flips and how he does all these tricks, like the science behind to maneuver the board. And obviously, he has Pro Skater 1 and 2 reissues coming out. I sent him a text and asked him if, number one, I can get a copy of the game.
Two copies.
And number two, would you want to come on the show again and talk about the masterclass and, of course, the reissue of Tony Hawk's Pro Skater, and I'm waiting for a response. In the video that of these master classes on the interwebs, you hear Goldfinger in the background.
Awesome.
So it's the least he could do is come back on the show.
He'll come on. I'm sure he'll come back
He's a bro.
When we were skating with Tony Hawk, he we were chatting, and I was by the skating over in the street course part of it, and he said, he looked at me, well, how my feet were, and he's like, turn your front foot a little bit more 90 degrees on the board and you'll have more control. I was like, holy shit, why didn't I meet you 20 fucking years ago? And it worked.
Then you could have joined Team Brotherhood.
I could.
Instead, what was the team you're on? Team Sheridan?
The Boulevard Posse?
Boulevard Posse, that's right. Yeah, you could have joined the Brotherhood. The Brotherhood had the best skaters, man. We had Ralphie Delmont.
Oh, shit.
And Team Sheridan had Jeremy McPhail, and he was really, really good. He was him and Ralph were like next level skaters. They were doing kickflips to rails and shit. They were nuts. But those are good days. But anyway, I digress. Jeff Grosso, my chat with him, he passed away a couple of months back, and our hearts go out to him and his family and the entire skateboarding community. Part two of my chat with Jeff on the Dangerous Darren Show.
But back then, when you were in Venice skating, or you wherever you were skating at the time, and you landed something, did you ever have a time when a kid come up to you later on, like a week later, and said, "Dude, you landed that da 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 da. Do it right now. I want to see it." Because a fellow skater, like, I got to see you land this trick. I got to learn it. I got to know how to do it.
Yeah. There definitely, you know, there definitely has been that component to it. I mean, probably one of the raddest things that, I don't know if it's rad, but, like, interesting things that's happened in skateboarding was, like, the advent of the video age and even Tony Hawk's Pro Skater, the silly video game. Because, when I was young or whatever, McGill shows up, he does the 540. And the first time we saw McGill do a 540, it was a revelation. And that was, like, so unobtainable to most of us, you know? And everybody had to kind of figure out, like, whether or not they could, like, break that barrier. But see, the kids nowadays, you know, if we're talking about transition skating or even street skating or whatever, with the internet and all of the social media and stuff, things are just instantaneous and they're bombarded with imagery. And so nothing is unobtainable. Like, it's just the norm to them.
Right.
You know, it'd be unheard of for like a 9-year-old to do a 540 back in 1986 or 87 or whatever, because the 540 was brand new and there were only a handful of people that could even wrap their minds around flipping their bodies that way.
Right.
Now, I have a 7-year-old son and he watches YouTube videos and these things are just normal to him. So,
yeah.
So 8 and 9-year-olds are just like, oh, I can do a 540. That's no big deal, because they've seen the 540. It's just part of the culture, part of the vernacular of skateboarding. It's just like, oh, that's not hard. Like, look, you see it all the time. You see all these people doing it all the time. I can do it too.
It's funny, we're getting older. You're 51, I'm 50, and we look at our grandparents and our parents back in the day, and I remember them saying shit like, oh, you know, back in my day, or you kids got it good these days, and now here we are, a little bit older, you know, with kids,
and I
look at the kids nowadays and go, wow, you got fucking Instagram, and you got the internet, and you got YouTube, and you got fucking all this shit that is just soaking up your time, you lucky bastards.
You tripped out on like our grandparents and our great grandparents, and it's like, you know, like oh, what was neat about your life? And they're like, you know, I saw the advent of the telephone and the telephone and the television and the microwave oven, you know, and like at the time I remember thinking like, what, you know, but now that you're getting old, we're all getting older. It's like you could see how you could see how like I lost my train of thought. My roommate needed something.
Well, let me ask you a question about
you could just see how these things affect things like I was saying about Tony Hawk's video game or whatever. Kids played that video game you know, and so many kids came to skateboarding and started skateboarding because they played the video game first. And you hear that all the time. And a lot of people, you know, didn't know the difference of, like, well, you know, like, you see it in the video game, like, they must be able to do that. And it's like, no, it's a fucking video game. You know, you can't do that. You can't, like, flip and spin and blah, blah, blah. But then in their heads, because they came to skateboarding through this, you know, through the introduction of this video game, it's like, yeah, all of that's possible. Like, if you can fucking dream it up, right, then you can fucking do it.
Well,
right, you know,
to some degree. I mean, my band Goldfinger was on that soundtrack. Tony was a big fan, and it really helped our career immensely. But it's impossible to ollie up to a roof of a building and then kickflip and land on a telephone wire and grind that. That can't be done, you know.
well, yes, of course. I mean, some things are totally fucking ridiculous, but. But then there's people like fucking Jaws, Homoki, or whatever, you know, that do jump off fucking roofs. And you're like, huh, okay, like, you know, we wouldn't have ever thought of shit like this back in my time, you know? Yeah. It's like, and the stuff that you see, you know, the street guys and stuff do nowadays, like, it, you know, it's fucking, it's like, there's no way, man, that shit's fucking mind-blowing.
It is.
Compared to what we were doing.
You know, Jeff, and I was talking to Steve over at Vans, we talked about a number of things, but he was just in love with this, that's why your name came up. He was telling me about Love Letters to Skateboarding, the series you've been doing for a while. I believe you're in season 10 now?
Yeah, I think we just finished season 10.
Okay, so you're coming up on 11. I mean, you've been doing this for a while now, and there is a shit ton of content under the heading Love Letters to Skateboarding, and it's beautifully done. Beautifully done with the way it's laid out, with the way it's shot, the storytelling process. I mean, nothing, you're trailblazing. I think you're the first person to do a really in-depth series of contents and podcast or video casts, whatever you want to call them, about skateboarding. And I just fell in love, and I binge watched one day, like 15 episodes. And I just, you should be very proud of this, because it is a beautiful piece of work.
Well, thanks, man. That's fucking awesome. I wish I could take the credit for it. I really have to lay that at Buddy and Rick's feet and Bradley over at Six Chair Productions. I mean, you know, they really are the puppet masters of the whole thing. You know, like, whatever, I'm the idiot on camera, and, you know, I take all the heat or all the accolades, depending on who you're talking to.
Right.
But yeah, you know, it's, I mean, it is definitely a collaborative effort. We all pitch into it, but at the end of the day, it's Rick and Buddy doing the storytelling. And, you know, like, I originally pitched the idea just, you know, from the hip or whatever. And, Jesus Christ, trying to get out of doing it. And putting it on somebody else's fucking lap, and they were like, no, you know, it'll be great, you'll do it, and it's ended up being totally awesome. It's really fun to do, and yeah, I think we were kind of the first in skateboarding. I mean, there's kind of a whole genre of podcasts and you know, web content and stuff that's kind of sprung out of Love Letters. You know, I think,
well, I love it.
I'm kind of loath to take responsibility or credit for it or whatever. I think it would have happened with or without the show, but we just happened to have been the first to stumble into that kind of storytelling.
Right. I love it, and I think it's well done, and I cannot wait for more. It's just so addicting, and the stories and the subject lines are amazing, and your content is really well done. You and your team, whoever put it together, should be very, very, very proud. But before I let you go, a couple things I just want to ask you really quick. I mean, if you go to the Vans website, you have a profile there, and it's a quick little bio, little read, and then a couple of the love letters to skateboarding shows. But in the little bio, it says that you call Paul Peralta pansy ass. It's right there. And I got to know. I mean, why do you think Paul Peralta is pansy ass?
I'm not exactly quite sure why I call. Was I calling Stacy pansy ass?
No, I think the company.
Pansy ass?
I think the company, not Stacy.
That's probably unfair and lame of me, and I don't know where they got that. I don't recall saying that. I rode for Powell when I was 17, right before I turned 18, and I thought I was going to turn pro for them, and blah 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 blah. It didn't go down that way, and I ended up leaving Powell and going and turning pro for a company called Schmidsticks.
Yep, of course. Yep.
And I grew up it, one of the little kids that bought, you know, we bought all the Powell products. We bought into the boat, like the way they marketed their skateboard company. We were the little kids that bought everything. You know, I had the street issue and the general issue and mini cubics and the Ray Bones Rodriguez board and it, you know, and Scott Foss and Steve Caballero were Eric's, you know, Eric and my heroes, and we totally related and loved the company. Jay Smith was awesome. Like, you know, I wanted the Beamer board and all this bullshit, right? So, you know, actually rising up to the point to get on the team and be a part of the so-called Bones Brigade or whatever at the time, you know, it was like, you know, it was the pinnacle of like how far you could go in my opinion, when I was 17 or 18. And, you know, it's one of those situations where like, be careful about meeting your heroes and all that kind of thing. Like, it ended up just being one of the worst teams that I rode for, you know. Wow. And I didn't really have that great of an experience, you know, with, you know, under the tutelage of Stacy Peralta. I, you know, and a lot of that was my fault, you know, probably most of it was my fault, just being a smart ass, you know, teenager or whatever, but I just didn't understand where the dude was coming from. And it's just what, you know, I really liked being with Lance, but other than that, everybody was extremely jealous and petty on that team. It wasn't a team at all, you know, it was, everybody was looking sideways at one another and trying to hold on to what little piece they had, you know, and it just, it was kind of heartbreaking to me. And ultimately I ended up quitting and going somewhere else and having fun with another group of people.
Right.
And it was probably really unfair of me to say that, but that's just kind of how I felt. Like, you know, the great and mighty Powell Peralta, it turned out that it wasn't so great and so mighty. Right. For me.
Right. I think you just file that under a life experience and c'est la vie. Shit happens. You know?
Yeah, I think Naratko wrote those bios, and he loves to dredge up, you know, controversial comments and shit like that. So right. That's probably why that's on there. But
hey, Jeff, before I let you run really quick, do you think you're the only professional skateboarder to smuggle hash into the United States?
Fuck no. And before you get me arrested for who knows what the statute of limitations
hey,
on
I,
this
I'm not is. The first to break the story, by the way. You can you confess on the Border podcast.
So yeah, yeah, it's just another one of those, you know, like, oh, you know, so I was like, here, hold this. And, you know, it's like, and when Christian, you know, is flying you around the world and tells you to hold this, you know, I was just dumb enough to hold this, you know, and,
And you almost got popped when you landed. You came really close.
I shit you not, the man had to have touched the ball. Like, it was just a little teeny tiny ball of hash. Like, what, you know, it wasn't like we were fucking Pablo Escobar-ing our way through fucking LaGuardia or something. It was just a little piece of personal use, you know, hashish or whatever. But, yeah, the dude ran his finger right over it. I don't know how. You know, I guess he just thought it must have just felt like the bottom of the bottom of this. You know, it was like a zipper to a pocket that went nowhere.
Right.
You know, there was no pocket there. So, like, when he ran his finger, he opened the zipper up and ran his finger down, and the ball was stuffed down in the, you know, in the bottom, in the corner of it. You know, he ran his finger down into the corner and then just brought his hand out and zipped it back up, and it was like, there's no way that guy didn't just touch that ball of hash, you know, but he just wasn't paying attention well enough, thank God. Or
did you give the hash to Christian and go, don't ever fucking ask me to do this again?
Yeah, totally. You know,
I love you, but
and then we laughed about it, you know.
Smoked
it. We were young and we were immortal, you know, and the party was never going to end, and it really, at the time, it really wasn't that big of a deal. It wasn't until I kind of looked back at it and was like, fuck, that was sketchy.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But yeah, there's been all kinds of motherfuckers have gone down, you know, smuggling coke and weed and doing all kinds of dumb shit and
Lordy,
behind skateboards and stuff. And, luckily, that was never. My dad told me at a very young age, he's like, you know, don't ever get into drug dealing. And it was one of the things I listened to him. You know, I kind of quickly learned that I enjoyed doing them more than I liked trying to make money off of them.
Yeah, that would have been a wasted a lot of your time hustling, and you never know what the outcome might have been. So,
yeah,
wise choice.
Yeah, it was just like, it's just not my bag. And, yeah, it was fun, though.
Right. Listen, Jeff, I got to run, but I appreciate your time. I mean, talking to you was a huge thrill. Having you on the show is a huge thrill. And if you come to any of the band's events that Steve and his crew throw, I'll be there as well, and I'll sure get a nice chance to meet you and get a photograph and shake your hand and maybe even ride a little bit with you. It'd be a big thrill for me.
Right on, man. Go on. Yeah, thanks for having me.
There it is, part two of my chat with the greatest skater that ever lived, Mr. Jeff Grosso. He passed away March 31st of this year in his home in Newport Beach, California. Our heart goes out to him and his family and the entire skateboarding community. In the interview there, T.S., I mentioned how I wanted to skate with him. And what a bummer, because that ain't going to happen. It just sucks.
Yeah, man, too soon.
Way too soon.
It's like his early 50s, dude.
He lived hard. He lived a hard life, and he admitted it. He admitted that he partied hard, a little too hard, and took that a little more seriously than other things in his life. But still, live hard and die young, man. A lot of songs have been written about that. But still, it's sad for the community. It's sad for his family, and it's sad for him. So he will be missed for sure, Jeff Grosso. We're going to take a short break. Hang tight.
iDobe Radio.
Yes, I actually am an Avril Lavigne fan. I'll tell you why.
Why? Okay, I'm listening.
She came to an event. She did an event in Toronto way back to promote a single or a video or something, and I was invited to the show.
Okay.
I knew some people. So me and my wife at the time, Vicky, we went to the show, and we're having drinks, and she came up to me, and she's like literally 4 foot tall.
Yeah.
Maybe three.
Yep.
I don't know. Maybe two. But she's really, really, she's a tiny girl.
She's a little.
She came up to me and she's like, oh, hey, my friends said you're going to be here and I'm a big fan. And I'm like, you have no idea who I am. And she goes, what? And I go, you know who Goldfinger are? She's like, of course I do. I'm a big fan. And she started naming songs and like and shows. Awesome. I'm like, oh my God, I'm like, I can't believe you know who we are. She's like, why wouldn't I? I'm a huge fan. And she invited me to play hockey with her.
Really?
It never materialized because I just my schedule, her schedule, we just never got on the ice together. But she can fucking play.
She can skate.
She can skate. Well, no, she can play. She's rough.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
She can play hockey. Really. Well, she grew up in Canada, right? So
yeah, so it's the national pastime.
But we started talking about punk, and she's like, oh, she mentioned the Exploited and GBH and Pistols. And she's like, she's obviously known for the pop princess kind of a thing that she did for that spell. But she's got some punk chops.
Okay, so she's got some street cred.
Yeah, so that's why I back her.
And she can play some hockey.
She writes her own songs. She picks up a guitar and plays. She writes her own songs. She plays hockey. She's cool as fuck. I think she's a foot tall.
She's 1 foot. She's 12 inches. Cute. She's a little fairy.
Totally cute. Absolutely cute. She was married to Derek Wibley for a long, long time, and that didn't work out. But she made a lot of money, and she's doing well.
Well, there's still hope for you.
Really?
You and Avril. Or me and Avril.
What about Cheryl?
Who's that? Never heard of her.
I'm going to text her right now.
Text Cheryl or text Avril?
Both.
Okay.
Avril, what are you doing Friday night? Send. Cheryl, it's over. Send.
Would you, Avril, would you like to watch a replay of the 2016 the Stanley Cup Finals?
2012 and 14, buddy.
And 14, okay.
It was the Kings. You were there.
I was.
You were there, dummy.
I was trying to think of the year. I was like, the 2014.
You don't know the years?
It's the fine details. I know I was there.
We weren't there in 12. We were there in 14.
Yeah, okay.
It was a groundbreaking, epic date in your life that you'll never forget.
It was. It was like 85 degrees in Los Angeles. I was out there with my
June 13th
Kings beanie on.
It was hot, but it was cold in the arena, which it should be. And we saw ice. History. We saw them win their second cup, and it was magical. Magical.
Yes,
magical, magical time. The Dangerous Darren Show on Adobe Radio. Thank you for tuning in, everybody. And if you want to hit us up on Twitter and you want to hit us up on Instagram, it is easy at DangerousD_show Twitter and on Instagram. I'm at Darren Pfeiffer on Instagram, and TS is at Burn Hollywood Burn. While you're on the interwebs, hit him up in his cool nerd weed show. I haven't memorized the socials, TS. What are the socials?
On Instagram, we're at Cool Nerd Weed Show, and on Twitter, we are at Cool Nerd Weed. You can find us on Facebook. And
did you break ground, TS? Were you like one of the first podcasts talking about weed?
The first on Adobe, that's for sure.
And there's more?
Well, yeah, there's the Way Highway, but it's a little different. They're okay. They're improv comedians, and they talk about how cannabis hell like influences their stuff. But we're like political, and we were the first.
Well, they're a bunch of quacks.
Love the Way Highway dudes.
Happy birthday to Jason Mraz, songwriter. Really good songwriter. He is 42 years of age today. You ever get into Jason Mraz's stuff? Really good.
No, what's
so good? He wrote Skater Boy.
What?
I made that up. Oh, come on. That was funny.
Oh, man.
Randy Jackson, bass player, played for Journey, played for fucking everybody. Michael Jackson, he was the bass player of choice in the 80s.
Wait, and he...
Teen Idol, or what's it called? American Idol?
American Idol. Oh.
That guy.
Okay, so Randy Jackson.
Not one of the Jackson brothers.
No. Yeah,
Randy Jackson.
I understand. I understand that. He was the musical director for 98 Degrees when I was working for 98
Degrees. Was he really?
Yeah.
Did you meet him?
I met him because he was at rehearsals every day before American Idol started, and he was the coolest motherfucker you'd ever want to meet.
Seems like it. No relation to Randy Watson, who was the in Sexual Chocolate. No relation.
Sexual Chocolate.
Don't they play so good? And Duffy, that singer, that little cute blonde singer, she's 35 years of age today. On this day in 1995, June the 23rd, 1995, Jonas Salk died. He was an American biologist. He created the polio vaccine. He died at the age of 80 from heart failure. We could sure use Mr. Jonas Salk right now.
We sure could. We could use your skills. If you have anything in your bag of tricks,
Mr. Salk, if you're out there and you're a ghost, maybe you can come haunt some other biologists and tell them the ways of the force. Here's a weird state law. You ready for this, DS?
Okay, I'm ready.
This one's so fucking weird and stupid. In Iowa, you've been to Iowa. In Iowa, if a piano player only has one arm, they must perform for free. They can't charge.
So I would say,
if you have one arm and you're playing piano, you can't like spend like $5 to see me play piano. You can't do that.
I would say at least give him make it half price. Because what the fuck, man? What kind of shit is that?
Dude, people got together in legislation in courts and sat down with suits and they had, all right, everybody, meeting is called to order. On the docket is House Resolution 665-12, making it illegal for a one-armed piano man to charge a fee for his performance. Anybody? Yay?
All in favor?
All in favor? Yay, yay, yay. Okay.
All opposed?
Fast. No. Write that down. It's law. Fucking idiots.
How many one-armed piano players did they have in Iowa that this actually needed to be a law?
Yeah, was it a problem?
Is it an issue?
Wait, like, were people going to the town halls? I demand that the one-armed piano man play for free!
Yeah! I'm with him.
Who's with me?
All these one-armed piano players in our town of Boise, they're disrupted. I can only hear either the melody
or the bass line.
I want to hear both. I'm not paying for this.
And I'll pay a good dollar to see two hands play the piano. Unbelievable. On that note, we're talking about skateboarding with our chat with Jeff Grasso. So it's only fitting that we play a skate song. It is Suicidal Tendencies Possess the Skate on the Dangerous Dimension. Suicidal Tendencies Possessed to Skate on the Dangerous Darren Show. Yeah, so when's the last time you hit the bricks with your board?
Yesterday.
When's the last time you did a double kickflip varial?
Never.
There we go. Gonna take a short break. Hang tight, folks.
iDolby Radio.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Dangerous Darren Show on iDolby Radio. Thanks for tuning in every single Tuesday at this time, 4 o'clock Pacific, 7 o'clock in the Eastern Time Zone, and do the math in between. I'm just too lazy.
Well, all the flyover states, you know where to tune in.
Yeah. You look down, oh, there's Mississippi. There's Missouri.
Now we're here. And
there's
there.
Denver. Hit us up on Twitter and on Instagram at @DangerousD_show. That is @DangerousD_show. TS, do you have weed news?
I do.
I got a song.
Play me in here while I find some weed news.
I was gonna like do the old if you don't know where to go and you wanna be in the know, but I decided I got the guitar handy today, so let's just
let's get after it.
He was a weed boy, he said, check out my weed news. Because I know what I'm talking about. He had the weed news, said he needed a skater boy. And he said, listen to my weed news. Listen to my weed news.
Yeah.
Not my greatest work, but I'll take it.
Not, but maybe Avril Lavigne will write me a weed news song.
I'll call her.
Give her a shout.
She hasn't answered my text, by the way.
Not yet?
Not yet.
Okay. No, well, when she does, we have requests.
Cheryl did. She answered back.
She did.
She did. She said, I have a lawyer.
She said, good.
I was like, damn it.
Like Kanye West said, we want prenups. We want prenups.
Give me some good news to you.
I got some good news in the world of cannabis.
Usually it is.
Hashtag weed news. Hashtag cannabis news. The Nevada governor pardons thousands of past cannabis convictions. Nevada governor Steve Sislak pardons.
Sislak. Really?
Sislak, yep.
No relation?
Probably no relation.
All right.
Pardon thousands of past marijuana convictions, allowing residents to exercise voting rights and apply for financial aid and housing and, avail themselves of other opportunities previously denied. On June 11th, the resolution to unconditionally pardon all convictions for possession of less than 1 ounce of marijuana prior to 2017, the gambling state legalized the plant for recreational sales and possession, and the Nevada Board of Pardons Commission officially approved Sislak's proposal on June 17th. So, you know, the people have decided that small amounts of marijuana are not a crime, and the resolution will clear the slate for thousands of people who bear the stigma of conviction for actions that they have now been decriminalized. And it's no longer a crime. So, you know, like,
did you mention an amount of people, like how many people this is affecting?
So far, I believe it was 7,000 people. Daisy Dung Beetle. Yes, the terrible terrier. Get on the mic, Daisy.
This news makes Daisy very angry.
It makes her angry?
Well, she's a Republican.
She is orange, and she probably voted for Trump.
So that means these people that are let out of... Are any of these people let out of prison?
No, it's only for minor offenses. But however, prior to like 1999, possession of less than an ounce was a felony. And before that...
A felony.
And before that, you could actually get 20 years for having a joint in Nevada.
Oh my God! It's unbelievable. Before that, so. I can't imagine any of these people that could be serving serious time are still in jail.
Well, fuck, man! If they're out, if they're serving time, and let them out. I mean, like a felony possession for less than an ounce is insane.
Yeah,
and completely outdated. So if there's any, they need to probably take it a step further and release some of the prisoners that have been in. For
selling
for,
and
for, yeah,
for time served
crime, for time served,
served
and, yeah,
a year, like, you serve 6 months, whatever it is, just is, if don't fuck up anymore.
If you're in Nevada prison for cannabis crime, it's like this shit's legal and being sold by corporate fucking people, so they need to be let out of jail. But however, it is a step forward and a good step to they're not actually expunged. They're just according to Nevada law, they're actually the conviction is just sealed. The records are sealed for minor possessions.
Good, so they can get jobs and vote.
Yeah.
They can do other things that...
Yeah, felonies, like fucking felony possession.
It's like that's murder is a felony.
That's insane, dude.
It's
that's
nuts.
Insane. You lose your right to vote for like having a fucking less than an ounce. Crazy. Yeah. Anyway.
Well, hopefully this sets a precedent for other states that are going to look at this and say, oh, this is how it's done right. Well, maybe we should copy what they did, and because you know everything's piggyback, right? Like yeah, they did it, we're gonna do it.
Everyone's piggybacking on the cannabis movement.
So got some music news, and I wrote a one note music news song.
One single note.
One note.
Is it the brown note? Am I gonna shit myself?
No, it's not the brown note. The brown note is this. That's the brown note.
No,
that's the brown chord. the brown note is this. You feel like shitting?
No.
All right.
I think it needs to be lower. A lower brown. Yeah, we might need to amplify that before my bowels move.
All right. The one note music news song.
Okay. Give it to me.
Music news. That's it. It's fucking brilliant.
Shit.
I did that.
Look at you.
Trump plays Tom Petty's song at his rally, and Petty's family and his estate immediately issues a cease and desist order.
Yeah, they won't back down.
Oh, yes. That's nice. That's good stuff. This weekend, Donald Trump held a rally in Tulsa, Oklahoma, as everyone knows. During the rally, the Trump campaign played Tom Petty's hit, I Won't Back Down. As part of the performance, Tom Petty's family did not authorize this use. They immediately issued a cease and desist order, as well as criticizing Trump and his policies. In part, they stated, quote, both the late Tom Petty and his family firmly stand against racism and discrimination of any kind. Tom Petty would never let a song be used for a campaign of hate. He'd like to bring people together. End quote.
Yeah, always. Tom Petty brought the people together.
Yeah. So this has happened before.
Yeah,
in campaigns.
Like, nobody wants fucking Donald Trump to use their fucking songs. Except maybe Screwdriver. Yeah. Like, play some fucking Screwdriver songs. During
yeah, right. Like, unbelievable. Bad Cop stream a brand new record. The good gals of Bad Cop are streaming their new record. It is called The Ride, and it is out via Fat Records. Lynn Lee is going to be on the show, TS. She plays bass for Bad Cop. She's a friend of mine, and she was going to play bass in punk rock karaoke for a spell when there were some absences. Some guys couldn't do it. I called her and said, do you want to do it? And she showed interest, and we became friends. So Lynn Lee will be on the show in the coming weeks. Brand new material from Bad Cop out right now via Fat Records. The album is called The Ride. Definitely go and check it out. And of course, every week, Punk Rock Karaoke released a brand new cover video. This week, it's the Misfits hit Bullet featuring Jen Rocks on vocal. She is the girlfriend of Timmy Chunks.
Ah, good old Timmy Chunks.
And she's a sweetheart and a great gal, and she can sing, and she's got some looks. And so when you're on the socials and you want to look up PRK, our socials, check out Jen Rocks doing Misfits Bullet. Ride, Johnny, ride.
Didn't the Misfits, you know, they tried to, do a little something.
Yeah, they told us we couldn't use it.
Yeah.
But we did anyway.
Yeah, that's the punk rock.
Fuck that shit.
Rock. Wait.
You don't care.
Who the fuck cares?
You don't care what you say. Fuck you. In 1914, six men were sent out to assassinate Archduke Franz Ferdinand of Austria.
Oh.
One of them threw a bomb and missed, so he immediately tried to kill himself by taking cyanide pill and jumped in the river. Because the pill was only made him vomit and the river was only 5 inches deep, he managed to fail at murder, assassination, and suicide in the same day.
You want to take your cyanide capsule immediately? He drove into a 5-inch fucking river.
Unbelievable. Oh,
hey,
my God.
Get the fuck down. What are you doing? That's my cookie. That's my cookie pie.
Daisy, she's a fucking
a scavenger. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
What the fuck's going on?
We'd like
here?
To thank Jeff Grosso. Rest in peace for coming on the show. Definitely a sad, sad, sad day in skateboarding when he left this earth. Next week, we're going to get to that in my chat with Haley Kramer, drummer for Pop Evil. She's a badass and she's an awesome drummer. Coming up on Walden's Words, Logan Crossland, booking agent and talent buyer. TS Somewhere in the World is 5 o'clock. Cheers.
That's the show, and I am out of here.
Ow!
Yeah! Register to vote by mail.
Absolutely. Cheers.
Cheers.